filled with joy as we celebrate the birth of our Savior in Bethlehem's manger. On this evening, over 2,000 years ago, we sing praises to God and glorify His name as the angels did on the night of His birth. We rejoice in the fact that the promise of long ago has now been fulfilled. Listen to the words of the prophet Isaiah, who gave his prophecy over 700 years prior to the birth of Jesus about the birth of the Messiah. The Lord Himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and his peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Tonight, we have the candle of hope lighted to recall the hope of God's people that God will keep his promise to send a Savior to his people. We have the candle of peace lighted to remind us that Jesus is not only the Prince of Peace, but without personal relationship with him, we could never be at peace with God. We have the candle of joy lighted as a visible sign of an inward joy that fills our hearts. We also have the candle of love lighted to recall God's love for this world so much that he sent his son to it. Tonight, we light the candle as a visible reminder of the season for our celebration. God's prophecy has been fulfilled in the coming of the baby in the Bethlehem's manger. Let us pray. O God, we celebrate your goodness to us as we join in the triumph of joy of Christmas. You offer us the gifts of hope, love, joy, peace, and most importantly, yourself. Without you, there is no hope, there is no love, there is no joy, and there is no peace. Without you, we have no celebration. O Lord, may all who have come here tonight and all churches around the world see the gift of Christ in us as we shine his light in this dark and lost world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Christmas! We're glad you're here tonight. I'm going to read to us the Christmas story, and I had picked a modern translation, and I thought, no, I'm going to go back to the Charlie Brown Christmas special version, that old King James version that I cut my teeth on, and probably you're very familiar with it, and you could probably recite it as well. From Luke's gospel, it says this, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing in Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with his wife, betrothed wife, who was great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary, she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them.
Glory in the highest. must be on the earth. Your name is near, Emmanuel. God with us here. God pleased with us to dwell.
Father, we thank you that you came. You sent your only Son. And the promise is that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And we rejoice in those things. And all the people said, amen. Amen.
Well, good evening. We're glad that you're here. It's great that we can have a service. When COVID hit, we were not having services. And it's good to see you here. We've had a lot of people to call and say, we wish we could be there. We have families that had planned to be here, but they're homesick. We have families that had planned to be here. Somebody tested positive with COVID, so the whole family's in quarantine. But I am so glad that you are here tonight. Merry Christmas to you. Well, we're going to take a few moments to walk through something you already know. And one of the members a while ago said to me, how do you tell a story that everybody already knows? Well, that's the challenge for me tonight, and I hope I can present it to you in a different way than maybe you have not thought. When you look at the Christmas story, you will see that throughout the Bible, light is an important feature in Scripture. Light is used for all kinds of things today. In fact, we just passed the longest night and the shortest day, our winter solstice, December 21st. And believe it or not, starting tonight, the night gets shorter, and you'll have a little bit more sun or light tomorrow. And eventually, they'll go back and say, now let's change our clocks so that we have more light at night. And when you look at light, we use it for all kinds of things. In fact, they use it in surgeries. I had laser eye surgery years ago, and it was interesting for me to think how they did that. I thought, well, they're using light to give me sight. And I want to share with you some scriptures where light is very strong in these passages. Look at this. In 1 John 1:5, it says, this is the message we have heard from Jesus and now declare to you, God is what? Light. And there is no darkness in him at all. Jesus said this in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to light. And if you go all the way back to the Genesis story, the very first thing that God created before he did anything was he created light. Look at this. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. And so the very first thing God does is create light. And when we read the Christmas story just a few minutes ago in Luke's gospel, light appears there. Look at this. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiant light of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. When we continue in the Bible looking at the Christmas story, it's famous for the star, which provided light to the wise men. Look at this in Matthew chapter 2. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star, or the light of his star, as it rose, and we have come to worship him. And so in Scripture, light has played a major part in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And there's no other event in history that has affected history like the birth of Christ. Think about this. We divide history in half because of the birth of Christ. We have BC and we have AD. All that is based on the birth of Jesus Christ. The birth of Jesus Christ is the single most important and the single most affecting event ever in the history of the world. So much so, we date our calendar by it. And that night, light was shown. And the Bible says this, in John 1:4, Jesus brought light to people. His light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. The Bible talks about light, and it talks about darkness. And spiritual darkness is when you and I try to go off on our own and run our own lives by ourselves without Christ. And all of a sudden, things start going wrong. Things don't go the way we planned. For example, I would imagine all of you could give a great testimony that as you were putting up all your decorations, everything went perfectly, didn't it? No burned out bulbs, no cords that were broken, no ornaments that were shattered. It doesn't go that way. And all of a sudden, life doesn't go the way we want because we're in spiritual darkness. And then we ask, why is this happening to me? And because you're in spiritual darkness, that's why. 2020 and 2021 has been tough years for those of us around the world, especially here in America. We shut down our economy. We shut down the world. We shut down schools. We shut down churches. We stayed isolated from each other. And then eventually, when we could start wearing our mask, we wore them. And we were so thrilled, but yet we still couldn't get close. And when we had church here, we made people sit 6 feet apart and stay apart and wear their mask and come in hazmat suits so we could worship here in church. And though we had our mask, and though we were here, we were not together because we were afraid to hug, we were afraid to kiss, we were afraid we might catch something called COVID. And COVID was tough. People were laid off, and they went on unemployment. And for some of you, that may have happened to you. These last 2 years have been tough, and this year may have been even tougher for you. You may have gone through some very deep, tough times, maybe the death of a loved one or the death of a marriage. Maybe there's been a financial crisis because you got laid off, you went on unemployment, and you were struggling just to make ends meet. Maybe there was a health crisis. You got sick with COVID, or you knew someone who did, or someone else got sick with cancer, or maybe you did. But here's what I do know. You're not here by accident tonight. God brought you here for a reason. And that reason is he wants you to understand and accept the gift of love he offers you called Jesus Christ. And if you will stay with me as I walk you through this outline that I am using the word light as an acrostic, I promise you, I guarantee you that if you apply these truths to your life, you will walk out of here tonight and your life will live in the light and not be plagued by spiritual darkness. So as we begin getting ready to start into the acrostic, I want you to do something. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say this to them. Thank you for coming tonight. Now look at you. You got smiles on your face. When I was up here talking, you were like, when is he going to finish? You see, you put smiles on your faces. And I'm glad you're here tonight. I really am. Because over 85% of Americans in all surveys say they believe, this is 85% of Americans say they believe that Jesus Christ is the one the Bible talks about. He is God's promised Messiah and that salvation is only found through him. And so that means that most people tonight in America know why we're celebrating Christmas, though they may not be celebrating it for the real reason. So do you know the real reason Jesus came? He came so that we might have light and not walk in spiritual darkness. So let me walk you through this, if you have your outline there. Why did Jesus come? Here's the first. The L stands for, guess what? Light. To light up our minds and hearts so that we can know what God is all about. And what I mean by that is this. Have you ever had a flashlight or a bulb just burn out? Of course you have. Have you ever been struggling with something and you wrestled with it and all of a sudden you got it and you went, boom, oh, and you're telling somebody, oh, it's like a light came on in my mind. All of a sudden you couldn't see it and now you could. You see, the benefit of having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is confusion is replaced with clarity in life. And for those who don't have Christ, their life is going to be plagued by confusion. Do I do this? Do I not do this? Did I make the right decision? Did I make the right decision? There's a whole lot of things that people stay confused about. And the more you fall in love with Christ and the more you rely upon his light, the more clear things become for you. Because all of a sudden, when you know Jesus, the light comes on. Jesus said, as we read, I'm the light of the world. David writes this in Psalm 119. He says, understanding God's word brings light to the minds of ordinary people. David says, look, when you go to the truth of God's word here, it provides light in those areas where are a mystery and there's uncertainty. Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians 4. He says, Satan, who rules this world, has blinded the minds of unbelievers. They cannot see the light, which is the good news about our glorious Christ, who shows what God is like. Now, those of you who are strict grammarians, you will see that Satan has a little S. And you know why he has a little S? Because he's little in God's sight. I will never give him a big S in anything. You see, Satan wants to plague you with darkness. So I've got a question for you. Is there anything you're confused about tonight? Are you confused about your future? I don't know what I'm going to do next year. I don't know how next year is going to turn out. Are you confused about some relationship? I don't know if I should get into this relationship. I don't know if I should get out of this relationship. Are you confused about your finances? Did you kind of go a little crazy on your credit card spending this Christmas? And knowing that January's coming and so will the bills? And you're going, what am I going to do? Are you concerned or confused about your health? You've gotten a medical report. You've got several options. What do? Jesus said this in John 12. I have come as a light to shine this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. Jesus said, I don't want you to be in dark about life. I don't want you to be in dark about your finances. I don't want you to be in dark about your relationships. I don't want you to be in dark about anything. I want to shine light on it so that you see crystal clear. He came to show us what God is really like. Think about this. We would not know who God is like without Jesus. And this is important because all of us have fears. We have really big fears. According to all polls, the number one fear people have is the fear of death. It's the number one thing because you don't know when you're going, you don't know how you're going, and you're not sure is there really something on the other side. You hope there is. You pray there is. But is there? So we have these fears. And a lot of you, your fears, you have worries, you have concerns, and they permeate you. You wrestle, you toss at night, and you cannot sleep. And the truth is, if you really knew who God is, you wouldn't worry. You wouldn't sweat not only the small stuff, you wouldn't sweat the big stuff. Because you'd realize your God can handle anything for you. And when you don't know him, you try to avoid him. You see, we run from people we don't trust. It's hard to develop a relationship with someone you don't know. If you don't know them, you're not going to trust them. And the reason a lot of people today don't trust God is because they don't really know who he is. So Jesus Christ came to shine light so we can know who God really is. There's a lot of crazy distorted images of God out there. Hollywood has made a lot of money distorting who God is. I wouldn't pay any money to go see any of those movies except The Passion of the Christ. That's a really honest portrayal of who God is. You get all kinds of crazy ideas about who God is from magazines, politicians, friends, family. You can even get some crazy ideas about God at church. I have seen pictures of Jesus hanging in homes that make him look more like Pee Wee Herman in a wig. And when I looked at him, I thought, I'm supposed to put my trust in him? I don't think so. He looks like a guy with a lot of rouge on his cheek, a namby-pamby guy who's weak. How can I trust him? He doesn't look like he can help anybody, let alone me. When I look at Scripture, our God is a strong God. He's a powerful God, and he's a loving God. And the truth is, you don't have to try to guess out who God is. If you'll just read Scripture, learn about Jesus, you learn about who God is. And that's why he came. It's one of the reasons he came, to shine light on so we can understand who God is. You have a lot of questions about who is God. I have questions about who is God. I don't know about you, but I've already got my list that when I die, I'm going to get in line because I've got questions. I want answers to. Jesus said this, anybody who has seen me has seen the Father. Now, that's a rather arrogant statement because he's saying, I am God in the flesh. He says, if you've seen me, you have seen God. And you see, the way we know who God is by the way of looking at Jesus. We see that Jesus shows us who God is. Now, think about it. He came as a baby. Not pretty spectacular, is it? I could think of a lot of other ways he could have come, made it more spectacular for the whole world to see. Something like in Independence Day, come on this big spacecraft. Okay, and shine those laser beams out. I'm here. But he didn't. He came as a baby. Why? Because nobody's afraid of a baby. He didn't come to scare us. He came to save us. because he wanted us to identify with him. He came and was born like you and I so that he could identify with us. And you can even look at nature and you can see God. You can see how God created this universe. There's order, there's systems. It all flows together. It all works together. I did a little research. I know you're a lot smarter than I am. Do you know how many different species of beetles there are in the world? I found this fascinating. 350,000. Now, if I'm God and I'm creating beetles, don't you think 400 or 500 would be enough? No, he created 350,000 different species of beetles, and guess what? 30,000 of them are right here in America. God loves variety. So he created 350,000 all different kinds of beetles in the world, including John, Paul, George, and Ringo. Now, your younger kids are going, who's that? The Beatles. Another thing we know about God is how passionately in love he is with us. That's why he came. How do we know that God is loving? We look at Jesus. How do we know that God is forgiving? We look at Jesus. We wouldn't know anything about God if it really wasn't for Jesus. Paul writes this in Colossians 1, Christ is the invisible image of the visible God. Jesus said, I have come to shine light on who God is so that you can understand him. Here's what the I stands for. To inform us of the truth. Did you know that before you were born, God had a purpose for you? Before he even hung the first star, he had a purpose for you. There are no accidental parents. Well, there are accidental parents, but there are no accidental children. I've had more friends growing up, and they said I was an oops baby. There are no oops baby. There are accidental parents, but there are no accidental children. God knew that baby was coming anyway. And maybe your parents didn't plan you. My wife, her brother's 14 years older than her. Her sister's 11 years older than her. And she is now what's called the retirement baby. Okay? Maybe you weren't planned by your parents, but you were by God. God does not make errors in the birth of children. I want to read to you a passage, Psalm 139. David writes, you formed my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and wove them all together in my mother's womb. You saw who created me to be born. You saw who you created me to be before I was born. Before I ever seen the light of day, you had a purpose for me for the rest of my life. And that's why I'm against abortion. It goes against God's purpose. God says, I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for you. I have a life for you. And if you will trust me, I will shine light on that so that you don't live in the darkness. Jesus said, you want to know the truth? Look at me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John 18:37, Jesus said this. This is why I was born and came into the world to tell people the truth. Got a question for you. You ever get tired of people lying to you? I mean, you go online, you watch the news. You don't know what to believe about COVID. You don't know what to believe about the vaccines. They contradict themselves all the time. You get great experts over here. You get great experts over here. Who do you believe? Who really knows? And if it's not COVID, it's something else. I don't know about you. I don't like when people lie to me. Just speak the truth. Tell me the truth. And the reason people don't tell the truth is that they have fear. Even your best friends, some of your friends, don't tell you the truth that you need to hear about what they think about you. They don't tell you the truth because they're afraid it'll hurt your feelings, they're afraid you'll walk away from the relationship, afraid you'll blow up, afraid you'll have a meltdown, or they just go along with the politically correct answers to soothe what they think you want to hear so that they don't interrupt or disrupt the relationship. There's only one person who will always tell you the truth, and that's God. No matter what it is, he will never lie to you. He will always speak to you the truth. And if you tell people the truth, they can handle it. But there's a lot of people who think they don't need to tell the truth because they believe it's being judgmental or condemning. So let me give you an example. Let's say you go to the doctor. You have all these tests run. He calls you, say your test results are back. Come back in. I need to sit down and talk with you about this. And you go, all right, what's the diagnosis? He says, I hate to tell you this, but I got to tell you the truth. You've got, and he names it. Is he being judgmental? Is he being condemning? No. He's just telling you the truth. And when he tells you the truth, his intent is not to hurt you. His intent is not to harm you. His intent is to help you, because once you know the truth can set you free. And so he says, let's map out a plan. When God talks to you about your life, he will say things to you that you may not like. It's not to hurt you. It's not to offend you. It's to help you. And when he says, look, this path you're taking, I don't want you to go there, or this lifestyle you're chosen, or this person you're seeing, or this stuff that you're doing at your work, whatever it may be, he says, I don't want you to do that. It's not because he hates you or wants to hurt you. It's because he wants to help you. He will always speak to you the truth. Paul writes in Ephesians 1, 9 through 11, God's secret plan has now been revealed to us. Have you ever been part in your family, part of the family had a secret and they didn't tell you? And you can hear them talking. Hear them talk. Years and years ago, we had this Japanese exchange student lived with us named Misato. And we were trying to plan a surprise birthday party for her. And she heard Audrey and I whispering. And she got her feelings hurt because she thought we were talking about her in a negative way. And so she started crying. She started losing it. And we had to sit down with her and tell her what we were actually planning to do. There went the surprise. She says, but I heard you speaking in small whispers, little voices. You see, when people have a secret and they don't share it, we want to know what is the secret. And God's secret plan has now been revealed to us. It is a plan centered on Christ, designed long ago. He planned to bring all of history to its goal, meaning history is moving to a finish. There's going to come a day when Jesus will return. There's going to come a day when God's going to wrap all this up, and this earth will no longer be here. The Bible says he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. So all of history is moving towards that event. Now look at verse 11. Furthermore, because of Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. Don't you love inheritances? You don't get them until your parents die. You have to wait on them. God says, I have an inheritance for you when you get here. And what is God's plan for the universe and for you? See, the reason you are alive, the reason your heart is beating, the reason that you're still alive right now is that God wanted a family. He didn't need a family. He wasn't lonely, but he wanted a family. And the whole reason your heart is beating right now is he wanted a family. He wanted to love you and have a relationship with you. And so you're not an accident. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows everything about you, all your good and all your bad, all your successes and all your failures, all your sins and all your warts. He knows them all. And guess what? If you ever emotionally can understand how much God loves you, it'll radically change your life. Think of it this way. There's nothing you could ever do to make God love you more than he already does. And there's nothing you can do to make him love you any less. He loves you unconditionally. Paul says in Romans 5:8 this, God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death while we're of no use whatever to him. So how do we get there? Heaven's a perfect place. We can't get there on our own. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. None of us bat 1,000. We've all blown it. And the Bible says we cannot get into heaven on our own goodness or on our own good works. If God let you and me into heaven as imperfect people, with heaven being perfect, then we would make it imperfect. God says, I have a way, and that is through my son, Jesus Christ. And that's why he came, to inform us of the truth about how we come to have eternity with him. And when you understand how God created this whole universe, think about this. He created this whole universe. I mean, scientists tell us if our axis was slightly off this way, we'd freeze to death. Slightly off this way, we'd burn up. God created this entire universe, and he put this earth in the perfect place to sustain life, to sustain you, so that he could say to you, I love you. Paul says in Ephesians 3, when I think of the wisdom of the scope of God's plan, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father. So the only way you can get to know anybody is you got to spend time with them. You got to talk with them. And in church, we call that praying. So I would encourage you this week, if you don't talk to him, start. Because he loves you more than you could ever imagine. Here's what the G stands for in the light. The G stands for to guide our steps. Let me ask you a question. You ever been walking through the dark and stubbed your toe? I broke one that way. It ain't fun. I've been on trips, conferences I've gone to, and I'll wake up in the middle of the night in a hotel room scared to death because I don't know where I am. You ever gotten lost in the dark? I have. It's a horrible thing to get lost. Jesus said this in John 8:12, I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness, for living light will flood your path. Jesus said, listen, you come to me, you let me shine light on your life, you will never get lost ever again in this life. I will guide you through it. Why? Because God can see a whole lot further than you and I can. I read about a father named Brett who took his 5 children to climb what's called Half Dome in Yosemite. And that's it. They got all the way to the top. By the time they got there, it was pitch dark. He realized the severity of this. All he had was a little pin light. And with 5 little children, for nearly the entire night, they worked their way back down that dome safely. But all they had was a little light. But that's all they needed to see the sight. And he got them down safely. He said it was quite a frightening experience. And when he said that, I went, duh, I bet it was. Especially if you've got 5 little children. See, when we look around, we don't know what life's going to do to us. You're one phone call away from a crisis. You're one phone call away from something that could change your life. I'm sorry, we got bad news to tell you. Life comes at us. Jesus Christ came to help us when those bad times come because we don't know when they are coming. I'm sorry, we've got your lab results, and you got stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and you've only got 3 months to live. We don't know. But Jesus Christ came to shine light so that we can see how to handle those situations. And a lot of our fears happen because we just can't see clearly. Think about us. We had a bunch of bad things go wrong in 2021. And in 2022, you're going to have some more bad things go wrong. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen next year. You've made your plans. You're going to go to bed tonight. You're going to get up as a family. You're going to celebrate Christmas. But you don't know what's coming tomorrow. You have no idea what's coming tomorrow or the next day or the next week. And that's why you need Jesus. He already does. He doesn't want you in the darkness being plagued by the doubts and the fears of this world, wondering, what am I going to do now? How do I handle this? Because you're going to have days of distress with your finances. You're going to have days of distress with your health or relationships. You may find days where you feel defeated. You have days of depression. And you're wondering, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. And when you're in those dark days, you know what you need? You need God's guiding light. But what I've noticed with most people, here's what most people do when they have a crisis. They try to solve it themselves. They don't go to God, who is the light of the world. Take relationships. We start thinking, well, if I could just get married, my life would be a whole lot happier. You need to talk to some married people. Or if I could get out of this marriage, my life would be a whole lot happier. You need to talk to some divorced people. If I could just have some kids, my life would be a whole lot happier. Talk with some people who have kids. Or you think, if my kids could just get out of the house, go on, quit depending on me, my life would be a whole lot. Talk to parents who've had to do that. You see, we think relationships are going to make our life great. Anybody want to give me a testimony that that's not true? Some of your most happiest moments are with the people sitting next to you, and some of your most maddest moments are the people sitting next to you. Life comes at us. Some people think, if I just changed jobs, my life would be better. Then my life would be totally copacetic. If I could get that job, if I could make more money or take location. People say, if I could live anywhere but in Wilmington, North Carolina, my life would be a whole lot better. If I could just move to like North Dakota or Texas or Florida, I'd have a happier life. Some people think, well, maybe it's not the location. Maybe it's education. If I could just take that seminar, if I could just get that degree, it would change my life. And they still feel void. You don't need a little spotlight. What you need is a searchlight. If you drive by any car dealership, they will have this huge light shining. That's what you need. You don't need some little rinky-dink flashlight. You need this huge searchlight. That's what Jesus came. He says, I am the searchlight. I'm the light that shines everything for you. So I have a question for you. What are you having a hard time figuring out in your life right now? You got some decisions to make. Are you wrestling with them, struggling with them? What do I do? You see, you're either, everybody has problems. You're either coming out of a problem or you're about ready to go into one. And so you're going to have those moments where you're going, I don't know what to do. I can't figure it out. I can't see the end of this. I don't know what the decision is I should make. And what do you do when you can't see how it works? What is the switch that turns on God's light? It's called faith. And faith stands for forsaking all, I trust him. That's all God wants you to do tonight. It's to trust him. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust the psychologist. Don't trust some self-help book. Trust him. God says, you don't know what's coming tomorrow or next week or next year. I do. Trust me. Paul writes this. The light makes all things easy to see. And when you trust in the light of Christ, it makes life a whole lot easier to see. Here's what the H stands for in light. He came to heal our hurts. He came to heal our hurts. I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of people in my life in ministry. And here's the thing I have discovered. Everybody has a hidden wound. Everybody. Everybody has a place where they've been hurt or injured. It could have been hurt or injured by somebody long ago, and you're still carrying that with you. It's a hidden wound of what somebody did recently, and it's still bothering you. It could be what happened to you, or maybe what should have happened, and they didn't do it, and you're still hurt by this. Something was done, something was said that crushed you, that hurt you. Everybody has a hidden wound. Jesus came to heal you of those wounds. He came to say, hey, that's why I'm here. Give me your wound, and I will give you the room to live in this life. When I look at Scripture and I look at the life of Jesus, especially the season of Christmas, people are already deciding. I've been hearing people talk already. Oh, gosh. My parents are coming. Oh, gosh. My sister's coming. Oh, gosh. My brother's coming. And you got to be around those family members where there's unresolved conflicts and unresolved issues. There's these undercurrents stressing you out. So everybody puts on a good face, everybody acts really well, and then somebody pushes a button, and it all comes out. God says, listen, I'm the light of the world. Trust me. If you trust me, I will shine light on your situation, and it will make it a whole lot easier. You see, God can not only heal a broken spirit, a broken heart, a broken relationship, a broken dream. He can heal anything if you will trust him. Jesus said, I did not come to judge this world, but to save it. That's why he came. In fact, the angel said to the shepherds that night, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Maybe you've heard people say the phrase, I am saved. What does that mean? Does it mean they were drowning or something? So what does it mean to be saved? It simply means these three words, forgiven, flourishing, and freedom. That's what it means. Salvation means forgiveness from your past. It means the ability to flourish here in this present. It means freedom to be who you are called to be in the future by God. What does he save us from? What does Jesus save from? Oh, a lot of things. Hell, for one. Hopelessness, hang-ups, hurts, and bad habits. Messed up lives, those wounds that we carry that still plague us, and then our dreams come back and haunt us. They're still there. But he says, if you'll give them to me, I'll heal them. Some of you may be plagued by bitterness. You put all your stock in a marriage and it went south and now you're bitter. Or you put all your expectations in other people and they let you down. David says this in the book of Psalms. He forgives all my sins and heals me. If you will give your wounds to him, he will heal you of them. Now, I could go pop a pill, or I could go get drunk, or I could go sleep with somebody else other than my wife and think that's going to solve it. But the problem is it doesn't. I can read all the self-help books. They don't help. I can see all the psychiatrists I want. They don't necessarily help. I'm not putting those down. I'm just saying they have one thing that you need that they can't give you. They can't give you what you need, the power to deal with it, the power to overcome it. That's why you need a Savior. That's why you need Jesus Christ. In Luke 2:11, it says, for there is born to you this day the city of David a Savior, who's Christ the Lord. He came to save you. Now, believe it or not, when I was younger, I was a lifeguard. And for 4 or 5 years, I was a lifeguard. I lifeguarded at the beach, I lifeguarded ponds, I lifeguard in pools, and you name it. And there's always a time that someone is drowning. And here's the first lesson you learn in life-saving. You can't save somebody else, okay, as long as they're trying to save themselves. You can't do it. I have swam out many times, whether it's an ocean or a pond or a pool, and I just keep my distance. They're screaming, they're hollering, they're trying to get to me, and I just back up. You see, one of the things you learn in life-saving is that being a lifeguard, you let them wear themselves out. Because if they grab hold of you, you both are gone. Now, there's a technique we learn. If it gets pretty critical, you can swim down under them, crawl up them, and take them in. But most of the time, the best rule is let them wear themselves out. Why? You can't save somebody as long as they're trying to save themselves. And many of you are trying to save yourselves. When you already have a God who says, I will do that for you. He's just waiting for you to wear yourself out from the wounds, from the hurt, from the pain, from the anger, whatever it is, the bitterness, until you finally say, I'm done. And when you say that, he says, I'll save you. I'll take you home. You see, if there's any other way for us to get through this, then Christmas is a waste. The crucifixion was a waste. The resurrection was a waste. You see, you can't save. Jesus can't save you until you stop trying to save yourself. You got to let go. So you got to stop trying and you got to start trusting. Most of you know, you came through school, that light is the fastest thing on the planet, 186,000 miles per second. Think about that. That's how fast it travels. That's fast. And Jesus is faster. His light is faster. There's no delay. It's instant. There's no waiting. It's instant. There's no cooling time. It's instant. Whatever your hurt, whatever your pain, whatever your anger, whatever it is that you're trying to save yourselves from, let him save you from it. Otherwise, he's going to let you wear yourself out, make yourself bitter, ruin a bunch of relationships until you do. But when you finally say, Jesus, I'm done fighting this, come and save me, it's instant, and he does. I don't care what your background is. I don't care if you're Protestant or Catholic. I don't care if you're Jewish or Arab or Muslim or Mormon or Baptist or Buddhist. I don't care if you're atheist or agnostic. I don't care what you are. If you'll just give your life to Christ, he'll change it for you. Jesus did not die to give you more religion or more rules or more regulations. He died to give you a relationship to a God who loves you with all of his heart. And when you say, God, I'm done fighting, I'm going to start trusting, he shines light that gives you life. And finally, here's what the T stands for in light. He transforms our lives. Jesus came to transform our lives. He loves you enough to not leave you the way you are. Jesus said in John 10, I came to give life in all of its fullness. And what is he saying in John 10:10? These little simple truths. Jesus wants to give you a new life. He wants everything new in your life. You ever get bored? You ever get bored? I do. Every once in a while, I get on this Netflix binge late at night. And eventually, I just get tired of it. I'm tired of seeing the show. I'm tired of it. I already can see where it's going. Jesus came to say, I've given you a new life with significance and meaning and purpose, success. Jesus also said, hey, I came to give you an abundant life, a life that's full, that's living. You're not just existing, but you're really living. And third, he says, I'm going to give you an eternal life. Many of you know the actor Anthony Hopkins. He has portrayed some unbelievable characters in movies, from Hannibal Lecter to Odin in the Thor movies. Anthony Hopkins became a very successful actor, and he turned to alcohol and drugs like most actors do to cope with the stress of acting. He had reached the pinnacle of his career, but he began to bottom out. As an atheist, he said, I don't need God and I don't want God. But finally, he was convinced to start going to an AA meeting. And while he was in this AA meeting, after weeks and weeks of going to it, a lady just looked at him and she asked him one question that forever changed his life. She said this, "Why don't you just trust God, Anthony?" He said, "For the first time in my life, a light came on. And I realized the big void in my heart was God." He went home. He immediately gave his life to Christ. His desire for alcohol, for drugs, was instantly gone. Every issue in his life was immediately healed. He said, "I now realize this downward spiral that I was headed to, God shined light at a place that I never thought he would. And I am so grateful that he's brought me from the darkness into the light." And as we approach 2022, that's my prayer for you. A lot of people sought him out that night, shepherds and wise men. God wants you to have life. So I've got another question for you. It's the next little thing that's going to pop up on the screen. What is more foolish, the child who's afraid of the dark or the adult who's afraid of the light? Are you afraid of the light of Christ? You don't need to be. I mean, who's the bigger fool, the child who's afraid of the dark or the adult who's afraid of the light? Christ says, "If you will let me shine my light, you will have life abundantly. You have life eternally." He's not going to turn you into some crazy religious nut. I've had people say, "Well, Pastor Kelly, if I open my life to Christ, am I going to look crazy?" No, you're not going to look crazy. You're just going to look normal. 1 John 2:8 says this, "The darkness in our lives disappears and the new light of Christ shines in us." When anyone becomes a Christian, 2 Corinthians says, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. I'm not going to pressure you to make any decision. I'm going to simply ask you to consider it. We're here tonight to celebrate what all of us know happened 2,000 years ago, a birth of a baby who brought light. Who says, "Listen, if you'll let me shine my light on your life, you won't have to live in darkness. You won't have to be plagued by darkness. You won't have to have those hidden wounds come back at you and when you're even sleeping in the darkness of your days and plague you. You won't have to deal with that bitterness and hurt anymore. I'll take it from you if you'll let me shine my light on it." You don't have to know everything about Jesus in order to trust him. For example, you don't ever say, "I'm never going to eat a Krispy Kreme donut until I understand everything about digestion," do you? No. You just eat the Krispy Kreme donut. I don't know everything about Jesus. I don't know everything about God, but I'm willing to trust him even with the things I don't know because I am fully convinced of the things that I do know. He's the light, and he wants to be the light for you. And there's not a better time to come to the light than at Christmas. Christ is born. And that's why we're here. Let's pray.